Heart and Soul, your weekly program of the music of the church throughout the ages.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul. Before David speaks to us, let's hear from Trinity College Choir with a hymn of resurrection. Jesus Christ is risen today.
Hello, this is David Evans. I don't suppose there are too many listeners who have not heard the testimony piece called Footprints in the Sand. Actually, there are four people who have been cited as the authors of the piece. First, there was a Mary Stevenson in 1936. Then there was a Caroline Carty in 1963. And then a Margaret Fishback Powers in 1964. The fourth claimant is a man called Burrell Webb, who even took a lie detector test to prove his authorship. But like every piece of spiritual prose or poetry, does it really matter who wrote it, as much as the real source of life's experiences being the Lord himself? For the piece is all about one person's personal encounter with the Lord in a time of real trial. Because all of us experience those times when we need the Lord as our rescuer, we could all claim authorship of this piece, as we all know those moments of extremity in our lives when we are desperate for the Lord Jesus to carry us through the valleys. Let me read you the version of the piece that we all know, and then I want to bring you a new version, an alternative version of Footprints, which denotes a far different experience than the one in this original piece. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there was one only. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints, so I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there has only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "The years when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you." Now there are three things worthy of note in this piece. The first is the sense of the Lord's promise to powerfully walk with us who have personally committed our lives to him every moment of the day. The Lord said, I will never leave you or forsake you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I have always felt the word world there in that promise, even though it means specifically this present age in which we live, means the Lord is with me in my personal world or life, as well as yours. Being a Christian is all about intimacy with the Lord. He saves us that he might have a personal relationship with us, and as long as I live in this world in this moment called this age, even in the midst of so much evil, I need never fear that he is with me all the time. When you start walking with the Lord, there are those many moments when it seems that his time is yours exclusively. However, being a Christian does not mean that there are no moments when you have what Footprints calls those lowest and saddest times of your life. The sand in the story stands for the path we walk. The two sets together are those times when clearly you know the Lord's presence. There is nothing negative happening to you or around you, so you are free to actually perceive his presence. In those moments, it's not hard to believe at all. But when, in Footprints, only one set of prints appear in the sand, your perception actually experiences life as if the Lord Jesus has suddenly taken leave of you. Remember how Peter walked on the water with Jesus while it was the evidence of his faith that dictated his foot movements, as he stood not so much on the water, but on the word from Jesus, which was, Come. It wasn't that Peter fell as soon as he began to walk. The waves were tossing and the wind was raging in those moments he was successfully walking. It wasn't until he took his faith off the word of promise that he began to notice the waves and transferred his faith from Christ's bidding word to the fear of the tempest. Then he fell, and then Jesus lifted him up and, as it were, carried him apiece. In the understanding of the idea in Footprints, Peter could have felt that Jesus had left him to battle the waves alone when he began to sink. Friends, God does not allow the tempests and trials to come that we might be overwhelmed or consumed. He has more faith in us than we have in him in those moments. Why do you think that Paul said that Christ's purpose in our lives is that we might rise above the circumstances? In that great Romans 8 chapter, we are said to be more than conquerors in all these trial things. In fact, if we are really and truly convinced enough of this in those times of trials, then the phase of the one set of footprints, which the man saw in the dream, when the Lord was said to be carrying us, will not be necessary for us. It is the Lord's perfect will that we continue to walk with him rather than be carried by him. The Old Testament verse puts it well, I can run through a troop and leap over the wall. The wonderful words of comfort in the 23rd Psalm about walking through the valley of the shadow of death successfully is because, as the psalmist puts it, For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Notice in those dark times, it is the psalmist who does the walking. He is not carried through the valley of the shadow of death by the ever-present Lord. The Lord is with him because he is walking with the Lord. Being carried is only for those times when a burden is too much to fight through. It's a momentary carrying. It's not meant to be an ongoing thing. Remember as parents when we used to pick up our children and carry them. It was so easy when they were babies or toddlers and they were tired and we understood their need to be carried. Our parents' hearts responded within us to our babies. But how sad it is when a grown child still wants to cling so tightly to being carried instead of finding their own feet walking in the way. How heavy it becomes to carry that child, and though the patience and the love of Jesus knows no bounds, it is his will clearly that we might walk in him and be strong, strong enough to bear the burdens of others. Footprints is a lovely piece. But listen to the new version of Footprints, for it has even more lovelier words and more loftier thoughts than the original one. Here then is the new version of Footprints. Imagine you and the Lord Jesus are walking down the road together. For much of the way, the Lord's footprints goes along steadily, consistently, rarely varying the pace. But your footprints are a disorganized stream of zigzags, starts, stops, turnarounds, circles, departures, and returns. For much of the way, it seems to go like this. But gradually, your footprints come more in line with the Lord's, soon paralleling his consistency. You and Jesus are walking as true friends. This seems perfect. But then an interesting thing happens. Your footprints that once etched the sand next to Jesus are now walking precisely in his steps. Inside his larger footprints are your smaller ones. You and Jesus are becoming one. This goes on for many miles, but gradually you notice another change. The footprints inside the large footprints seem to grow larger. Eventually they disappear altogether. There is only one set of footprints. They have become one. This goes on for a long time, but suddenly the second set of footprints is back. This time it seems even worse. Zigzags are all over the place. Stops and starts, gashes in the sand, a variable mess of prints. You are amazed and shocked. Your dream then ends. Now you pray. Lord, I understand the first scene with zigzags and fits. I was a new Christian. I was just learning. But you walked on through the storm and helped me to learn to walk with you. And the Lord said, that is correct. And Lord, when the smaller footprints were inside of yours, I was actually learning to walk in your steps, followed you very closely. Very good, said the Lord. You have understood everything so far. When the smaller footprints grew and filled in yours, I suppose that I was becoming like you in every way. Precisely, smiled the Lord. So, Lord, was there a regression or something? The footprints separated, and this time it was worse than at first. There is a pause as the Lord answers with a smile in his voice. You didn't know? Why, that was when we danced. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Now will you notice this time that we have a picture of a child walking and persevering in the walk even though his feet zigzag, start, stop, turn around, make circles, etc. In fact, a picture of a child learning to walk with all the hesitations, fall downs, but never being carried because there is the determination to walk, walk, walk. Surely parents listening to my voice will recall those days when your child started to walk. Whatever obstacles were in the way did not represent a desire to have you lift them up and carry them, but rather your child got up and tried again. Failure and defeat was not on the agenda. No way. Then after a while, the erratic footsteps become more straight and firm, just like the relationship of the person in the second footprints, because there is a determination to keep in step with the Lord. When one set of footprints do occur, it is because the child is placing his smaller feet in the larger print made by Jesus. But the difference here is not that the child has given up and is carried, but he is following his Lord, step by step. As the smaller footprints are faithful to walk in the larger ones, the smaller ones, you will remember, became larger. The goal was to fill out the step of the Lord with yours, and so identify with him more and more. And that is the goal of walking with Jesus, not to be carried by him, but to walk exactly as he does. Then, suddenly, bit sets of footprints merge into one. Instead of the reason given in the original footprints, we discover that the merging of the two sets into one means a powerful oneness with Jesus. But then, as we noted, it appears as if all begins to go wrong, and the second set of footprints suddenly reverts to zigzagging again. Has the unity with Christ come unstuck? Have the trials of life caused new disarray? Has Christ been too trusting in us, and we have let him down? But no. For we discover that the Lord reveals that the disarray is not backsliding, but that the relationship has changed from a walk to a dance, and dance denotes joy and victory. As the old chorus says, when the Spirit of the Lord is in my heart, I will dance like David danced. More than anything else, the Lord Jesus has a deep desire to have such a oneness with us in our experience that we have no need to be carried by him, but we rejoice in dancing with him. How about graduating from being carried to the dance of love? Join him in the dance of love.
I danced on the morning when the world began. I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came out of heaven and I danced on the earth. In Bethlehem I had my birth.
Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I lead you all wherever you may be. And I lead you all in the dance, said he.
I danced for the scribes and the Pharisees. They would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I danced for the fishermen, James and John. They came with me and the dance went on.
Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
I danced on a Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people thought it was a shame. They cut me, they stripped me, and they hung me high and left me there on a cross to die.
Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I lead you all wherever you may be. And I lead you all in the dance, said he.
I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body, but I'd gone. I am the dance and I still go on.
Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said the key. And I lead you all wherever you may be. And I lead you all in the dance, said the key.
Well, they cut me down, but I lift up high. I am the light that will never, never die. I live in you and you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he.
Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I lead you all wherever you may be. And I lead you all in the dance, said he. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, and in me.
We'll return with the final segment of this edition of Heart and Soul in a moment.